I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, AfterBuzzers. It is the mid-season finale for Vikings, the Vikings After Show, Season 6, Episode 10, Woo! Best Laid Plans,
Woo!
And they're leaving us on a huge cliffhanger. Got my girl Lauren in the house. What up, Lauren?
Hey!
So, it's finally spring. They've been waiting for winter to break before they go to war.
Yeah.
And all hell is broken loose. As they've kind of intimated. I wonder what are the characters actually said that to? But they say that every time there's a war. It's the very end, the bitter end, the gods. But I will say just right off the top, the Russian fleet, the Rus, their army is very formidable, just in numbers alone. What was your impression of just the battle scenes?
Well, their numbers are definitely overwhelming, and obviously Bjorn and King Harald really wasn't ready to accept it, but Bjorn knew the deal. And just seeing them overpower was a little bit sad to watch because, you know, obviously watching the Vikings, mm-hmm. we know that the Vikings are victorious. And for the first time, we're really seeing them go up against a competitor that can wipe them out. And yeah. It's really hard to watch. I'm just like, ugh.
It's hard to watch. They're more superior when it comes to technology, and we're going to get into all that.
Yeah.
But and we've basically only been in two locations. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, most of it obviously took place not in Kattegat, but Bjorn went to go reinforce King Harald's army, and I guess in the capital of Norway.
Right.
So that's where it mostly takes place. And then Rus. So, but we're only in Rus for 5 minutes. So I guess we'll start off with that. Start off with the shortest, I guess, kind of like location first, and then we'll work all the way to the big battle stuff.
Right.
All right. So let's talk. So what happens in Rus? Ivar is sitting there with Vitserk, and they're obviously prepping for war, and Vitserk makes this comment, something to the effect of, I'm committed to the destructive element. Something real, like, mysterious and bizarre like that. What'd you take from that?
You know what? I'm still baffled because they have this moment of, like, hey, are you ready to join our side? Are you ready to fight for the Rus rather than the Vikings? And at the end of the moment, he kind of just gave, like, a half-baked answer, and then we cut to something else. So I'm left hanging to know if they have really betrayed their whole culture or if they're now just kind of playing along and we're going to see them give us this crazy twist.
And I think that's one of the themes, obviously, that they're playing. This episode has kind of like one hand behind its back. And almost to a certain extent, I'm wondering if anybody feels like this in the audience, is that the writers are being too cute by half. Like, we know there's going to be some big reveals, some 180 degree turns and some betrayals. But obviously, they're not tipping their hand. They're keeping it very ambiguous, i.e. with our boy Vitserk.
Absolutely. And another thing that they really played a lot in this episode is this whole thing of having, like, I don't know if it's more of a hallucination or if it's more of a dream sequence, but there's this weird space where we're watching like the illusion of situations happen, and we just don't know if it's real or if it's in someone's head.
Yeah, and actually, it was very interesting, and we're going to get to that when we talk about the actual war. But yeah, I was like, are these flash forwards? Are these simulations?
Right.
But it's really interesting, you know, the way they edited the story. But before we get out of Rus and wrap things up, let's talk about what we thought was Ivar's vision. We weren't sure. There are all these such screwy scenes. We're like, are these real? Are these a vision? And he goes crawling into, like, this, I guess, this bedroom in the sanctuary, and he sees Freydis, or what appears to be Freydis, because it's the same actress, blonde hair, and she's standing by, like, this little sculpture with, like, wings behind her. So she's looking all angelic. So that was another thing that was kind of like, okay, well, could this be a vision? Because it's almost surreal. And I don't know, what was your impressions on that scene?
Once again, you know, originally when we're watching it, I'm like, is he hallucinating? Like, is he having, like, one of these dreams where he's wishing that his wife was back and he could do things differently? But then they continue on and it's more or less like, no, this really happened.
He pulls a wig off. There goes the illusion.
Right. The wig comes off. I'm sitting there going like, man, did they really have wigs of that caliber back then?
A lot of park benches in the middle of the battle. We'll get to that later.
Right. I'm just like, okay, we are really high tech right now. Like, I need to know, like, who was making wigs like that back in the day?
Yeah.
But, you know, so... I'm led to believe that it's actually real life right now.
And that becomes revealed in the next scene, or like in the next couple of scenes. Yeah. We see Ivar walking kind of in the middle of the courtyard. We're still in Rus, and Katya comes up to him. And she immediately says, and like, that was the one thing we had to rewind. She was like, okay, I don't normally do this. It's with that.
Like,
I never do this.
Oh,
I this don't really normally happens? Do this type of thing. Yeah. Something to that effect, right? And so it's pretty much confirmed that it's real.
Right.
And obviously, Ivar, it's hard to tell what's going on in his head. And here's the other thing, too, which I thought was actually at least keeping to the history and continuity, is that Ivar's not able to consummate it with her.
Right.
But they do, you know, share this evening together. And she immediately starts talking about how she knows about his plans to bring back Prince Deer.
Right.
Okay, so can we trust her? Can Ivar trust her?
Look, now, this is... I think she's just as power hungry as her husband, okay?
Right.
So I'm still on the fence about her. And I guess y'all can leave in the comments as well how y'all feel about this moment and who she is in this moment. But for me personally, I am very, very skeptical of who she is and what her true intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that she loves her husband, and all these characters that stand by their husbands and their man, they always are willing to do these extra maneuvers to get the truth so that they can support and defend their country, their man, their culture, whatever it may be. So if I had to go off of like this show and its history, I would not trust her.
That was, I mean, the first thing, and they cut to Igor, who's watching them, right?
Yeah.
And did I say, is Igor the right name? I keep sending the wrong name.
Well, King Oleg.
King Oleg was watching them.
Was watching them from the tower.
From the tower, and they have a moment, and he's kind of like, he gives that look of kind of like, what's going on? But she plays it, you know, as cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
And then he immediately turns away. So then the audience is left to ponder, okay, does he know what she's doing?
Right.
Or is he just choosing to ignore? I tend to agree that he knows what she's doing. They're in sync. But here's the thing, and it comes back to the whole conversation we were having about Bjorn's second wife, Ingrid, is that even if her intentions were true to her real husband, if things happen to shake out the wrong way, I get the feeling that both of them will ride with who's ever the winner. And really, what choice do they have in war, I guess?
I mean, so there's some characters that are just loyal to the bone.
Uh-huh.
And then there are other characters that I feel like, for example, Ingrid, or Queen Ingrid at this
second
point.
Second queen.
Right, second queen.
Side piece Ingrid.
There's some characters that I feel like they are in position by, like, a happy moment, like a happenstance type of thing. So with that being said, it's one of those things that if it just happens to fall in their favor, then it works. If it doesn't, then it doesn't work. So I just believe that they just want the power that's good for them, however they can rise.
Right.
They're looking for an opportunity to grow.
And you know what's turned out to be the real ride or die, and we're going to get into more Gunhild, just because I've always kind of had, not doubts about her character, but I felt like in the very beginning, even when she met Bjorn and Harald, she was very clear that she was, I'm down to be a wife, but I have like my own destiny and my own principles. But she's turned out to be a real ride or die. At least that's what it's looking like.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's find out about that. Let's talk about Norway.
Okay.
You know, we're getting ready for the big war. Things are getting set up. Bjorn has finally come to treat with King Harald.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're putting aside, you know, their differences, you know, for this bigger fight. And Bjorn is full of these ideas because he knows his brother Ivar, and he's betting that Ivar, because he knows the territory, obviously the Roots are going to be letting him lead the attack, and he's anticipating what Ivar's going to do. So the first, I guess you could say, crack in the armor is obviously King Harald. He questions Bjorn's defense to deal with to anticipate Ivar. Do you think it was a real, do you think that was some real, I guess, a legitimate question, or do you think he's just doing that to F with Bjorn when he questioned his tactics in the very beginning, if you remember that?
This is the problem that I have with King Harald.
Among many.
Oh, yes, among many. He is a short man.
Napoleon complex.
Yes, little Napoleon complex.
Okay.
He literally is power hungry. And it's so funny because I was watching that opening, the top of that scene where it opens up with Bjorn on one side and Queen Gunnhild on the other side. And then you have King Harald center of the two of them, and you just see like this height difference. If anyone notices
that, you call that out.
You know, like you leave that in the comments if you feel so inclined.
And so you don't think it's like it's just happenstance casting. You mean they casted that for the character?
They casted that for the character just to show how much of like he wants to be up there. Like he needs to be because of his height. Because of where he is, he feels like he has something to prove on top of his hunger and desire to be king. Now he has that, and that's not good enough. Now he's jealous because Bjorn still has the love of the people.
Right. Yeah, this is all coming out right now, basically. everything that you've articulated that we felt about Harald, like all of his insecurities, we even cut to later in Norway where we see him sitting in his throne and he has his tear.
Yeah.
Because he's basically, okay, so let's talk about his last play, you know, due to his insecurity. Maybe he had a legitimate plan, question about Bjorn's tactics, but he has another tactic where he goes and he attacks Ingrid.
Yeah, you know, this here, you know, I don't hate King Harald as a character, but in this moment, I hated him.
Right.
I hated him because, like, how low do you have to stoop to be competitive to go and take another man's wife? And she said no. So now you're going to go and push up on her and essentially rape her in this moment because you want to get back at Bjorn so badly. Like, it's just petty.
Well, but more than anything else, it shows he's a bad leader, too, because we were talking about this. You can play head games to get under Bjorn's skin, but I don't necessarily, if the night before the war is the time to be playing these games. And you want to keep, you know, you want to be able to trust your ally when you're on the same side of the battle. And so, yeah, so anyway, so his
priorities are screwed.
His priorities are screwed. And we're going to get more to him later on. But one of the things that you alluded to is that he does not inspire loyalty.
No.
Even though he won this election and he did all this double dealing, you know, behind the scenes that none of us saw and was able to win the election and buy these votes, basically promising people everything.
Right.
We see that all of his vassals and all of his allies don't show up.
Yeah, you know, and that's it's just one of those things that the way you treat people, it means it, like that's what's going to have longevity. And this is why Bjorn can still walk in a room, have a conversation and tell a messenger to say, hey, go send this out and use my name. Don't use Harald's name.
Right.
And that's just one of those things that when you have the love of the people, you will always be king. And that's one of the things that both of his wives were telling him.
Yeah. Is that basically you're the king no matter what. But more importantly, though, Bjorn inspires loyalty in his men.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't think, but there was a case, you know, not to skip too far ahead, but there was a time when they're looking on the horizon and they were saying, okay, those are our allies, but it wasn't allies. It was actually the enemy coming.
Yes.
So we're on the precipice of war, but let's talk about that. Okay. It's one thing to know that, King Harald, his leadership style, he was able to politically maneuver. But I think a lot of that goes, what we're really talking about is his character. And I guess his attempt to rule with an iron fist. Because even though you may be able to coerce people, you know, and threaten them, rule with an iron fist, if somebody's not inspired by you, then they're not going to fight 100%. And any chance they get a chance to wriggle out, obviously they will.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that said, but yeah, and we talked about how Harold is kind of basically trying to work his way in with Ingrid, eventually overpowers her. Now let's cut to Bjorn's first wife, the one and only ride or die, Gunnhild. She has a miscarriage when she's out there preparing for battle. And I was like waiting for something like to happen. When you see like her and Torvi getting ready for war, you know something like that is going to happen at some point. I don't know. So what was your take on that?
I was absolutely sad about this moment and devastated because, you know, she is one of these characters that are just pure. Like, her motives and ambitions, they're not motivated by power. They're not motivated by selfish intents. We watch her have these moments where she can put herself aside and put her husband or put the second wife in a higher position than herself. And that takes a very strong and confident woman to be able to make moves like that.
And she even says, okay, well, Bjorn, I'm sorry. I know you wanted a son, and I'm sorry that, because I know you wanted it, but hopefully you'll be able to have one by Ingrid. So obviously we see kind of like a thawing out of the tensions between the two wives.
Right.
And again, I'm more impressed. The more I see Ingrid, the more I'm like impressed with her character, you know, and her loyalty and her fidelity.
You know, she is starting to prove her worth around here.
Right.
But I mean, it is sweet of her to, it's nice in this moment, and I'm still trying to understand who this character is and who she is as a person in these moments, because on one hand, and this is where this episode plays so many different layers to people's intentions and their emotions and what's really going on in their head.
Right.
King Harold goes to her in a peaceful kind of manner of just like offering a opportunity to become the queen of Norway and kind of enticing and dangling a carrot in her face type of deal.
Right.
And then that doesn't work. Now he presses himself up on her and tries to be forceful. And even in that moment, it's kind of hard to understand. Like, obviously she doesn't want it, but at the same time, she's saying no, but she's not the normal response of get away from me.
Yeah, okay, yeah, and just to clarify too, now Harold has done this with both of his Bjorn's wives. He made it past, you know, trying to do the same thing with Gunnhild, and so now he's basically overtaken her. And this is what we're talking about, the ambiguous message.
Yeah.
She's fighting back. She appears that she doesn't want it. He obviously overpowers her, rips off her shirt, and turns her around. But they almost make it where to the point where he's finally overpowered her. I don't want to say that she's accepting of it, which anyone would feel defeated, overpowered, and that's in that moment. But they also cut to this vision she's having of her
putting the crown on.
Yeah,
and that's where I say it's hard to understand her character, because the vision of her accepting this crown, and then there was part of the conversation where she was like, "Well, let's just wait and see what happens."
But which also could have been her a ploy to like kind of keep him off.
True.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, it does go both ways, and that's why I say the writing is clever in the sense of keeping us in the dark of really understanding the true intentions behind what's happening in some of these scenes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would be led to believe that, okay, this is a rape scene. It's not something that she wants, bloop, bloop, moving on. Mm-hmm. But then there's that moment of the crown.
But just in case.
Right.
If things don't work out.
Which then makes you think that if whatever happens in the war goes south and Bjorn is gone or captured dead or runs off, whatever the case may be, she would willingly accept.
As opposed to a Gunnhild, who we now seem to so ride or die, she would like kill herself for sure at this point before she would like marry Harold when Bjorn was killed, I think.
Right. So that's, you know, that's where it gets tricky with this scene.
Right. All right, so there's a lot of layers as we talk about. There's a lot of dynamics, but I just also want to let the audience know that we're going to get to your comments from last week. We had so many comments from the last episode, and we're going to try to give you guys as many of a shout-out as we can, and then we got a quick announcement. Lauren's going to give us some quick news on the future of the show, and then we're going to get to our best kill, and then finally to predictions. So, everybody hang with us, and I just want to say, now it is the eve of war. They can see the ships coming.
Right.
They've made these plans, and they're cutting between Bjorn and, Harold in his preparation, mostly Bjorn, though, because he's in charge of the defenses, and Ivar and his plan, and it's kind of like this whole, you know, they got the, like, the makeshift shifts and the soldiers, and it's almost right. like a chess match, and he's talking about how we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to roll up on them, but we're really going to plan this ruse. And one of the things that you were alluding to that we're both really talking about is that they... At a certain moment when Ivar is going over his plans, I think he's going over to little Prince Igor, and probably he goes over with the other officers as well. But while he's going over his plans, they actually cut to the battle, or right. what looks to be the battle. And you see the Russians, like, storming the beach.
Right.
So it's like, okay, has it already started? Has the war already started?
Right.
And so basically, so the rest of the remaining part of the episode basically unfolds like that, cutting back and forth between Ivar kind of describing what his plans are, and we're like, is this a simulation? Has it happened yet? And so, to cut right to it, we do go full-blown into the beach scene, and they do get overrun, and that we're looking at each other like, okay, where was all this technology and the boom and the...
Yeah,
and the, and
like
the
little, y'all learned from Paris, like, and y'all used it, and it just... Honestly, this scene, at least the first half of the fight scene, frustrated the mess out of me, because I'm like, you're allowing them to get in this zone you can no longer push off.
Yeah, they basically let them, I don't want to say let, but they were powerless to stop them from storming the beach and basically coming up on land. And while they had these blocks that they talked about, the little blockades didn't really work. And, you know, we heard Bjorn talk about he's going to counter their pincer move, you know, so we had a little bit of faith in, but we haven't seen, like, this boom and this... trebuchet, as we call it, you know, when you see those in other, like, medieval shows, you know, we're like, throw the rocks and stuff.
Catapults
and all that. Exactly. So we haven't seen it yet, but we see them get overrun. Then we cut to another aspect of the battle. That's why it's confusing, but confusing in a cool way. We're like, is this before? Is this later? But basically, it's the Rus, Ivar, and Oleg storming another beach, storming another side. Of Norway, and you could tell it's a different shore because there's more snow, I guess. And so I guess it's this two-pronged attack, and that's actually what Bjorn anticipated. Mm-hmm. But this time, they're able to use one of their boats as a batter ram, and they're able to batter through that little makeshift blockade that the Vikings right. have put up. So that was kind of like the first point I saw. Okay, well, obviously the Russians, obviously they have the numbers. But it really hammered home how really they had the technology. Oh, and just along those lines, too, in the previous beachfront battle scene, they were using horses to kind of tie up the barricades and pull them down. So they were kind of like one step ahead of the Vikings as far as using technology, you know, to pull down their defenses.
Right. I was like, for me personally, I'm very disappointed in the Vikings' usage of just understanding who their competitor was going to be. Right. They knew that they were coming in hard with large numbers at the end of the day. So why would you let them hit on the beach? They had, you know, made their way just a little bit ways from the shore, and they were floating. You watched them offload into these little boats. You watched them paddle their little way over, and that was a great opportunity for you to use some of the technology to throw some balls of fire and hit the large ships and right. take out some of those numbers. Right. And I know that if we would have done that, it wouldn't have made it such an epic moment of scene and right. made the challenge in X, Y, and Z. Uh-huh. But for me, I like smart plays, and I like smart moves when it comes down to action and fight scenes. And
right.
this is one where if they knew, and everybody was talking about it, every character knew that there were going to be a really, really large amounts of soldiers coming mm-hmm. in.
This onslaught, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the Vikings are way more smarter than that.
They should have been better prepared. And you know what, to me, and you know what my response is to that, because I agree with you, I like to call that plot armor. Like, how come the Vikings are better prepared? Because the plot dictates that they need to be defeated. So, for because if we've seen, like, even Lagerthal, the amount, like, these better defenses, you know, technology-wise, and these mazes and everything, obviously.
Right, that fight scene was extremely, right. like, smart and educated. Like,
so,
it was
the plot dictates that they have to, I guess, be really looks like heading toward defeat.
Right.
And let's talk about that. While Bjorn is seeing it, when we go back to Bjorn's point of view, we're switching from Ivar and his point of view, Bjorn, he sees himself on the battle of this beach where first everybody's fighting and then Ivar pops up and it's surreal because we thought, wait, were they talking before? Were they in some kind of, you know, like parlay? Were they making plans? And, but then when everybody's dead and you see just Ivar and Bjorn on the beach, realize that Bjorn is having a really having a conversation with Ivar kind of in his head, right?
Right.
Okay, so I thought that was very interesting. I like because really what they were going over, it seemed like the who's really more credible for the legacy of Ragnar. Like, who's been the better
Correct.
Son? Because Bjorn talks about you're fighting for this for these foreign gods, for these Christians. Our father would never like that. You're letting him down. And then Ivar hits him with the well. You abandoned him when he asked you to go into battle that one last time. So it's an interesting back and forth from the perspective of the characters. But I want to get your take on it. But I also want to know, were those responses, like, for instance, when Ivar said, when Bjorn said, the gods are with us and I'm not abandoning the gods, and Ivar's like, brother, the gods have abandoned you long ago. I almost didn't necessarily think that could be Ivar, while Ivar's, I feel like Ivar's standing in for like just like that voice of doubt
right.
in Bjorn's conscious.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I agree 100% with that. I took those scenes as exactly what you just said. It's their conscious, their inner being, their inner thoughts of them really trying
those
to...
Those questions you have.
Exactly. Yeah. Them second-guessing themselves, trying to figure out strategic ideas and plans to defeat each other. And it's just one of those things of like, we're now in the minds of Bjorn. We're in the mind of Ivar, and that's that. The beach just happened to be the location for that.
Right.
So it's one of those tricky things of just understanding, like, if you could have made better choices, if right. I would have done this.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Exactly. And I think that's what a lot of that conversation had to, you know, deal with, because at the end of the day, maybe if Ivar did not go with Ragnar and Bjorn went, maybe Ivar would have been a totally different person.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's just things that happened along the way of the journey that shapes the person.
So yeah, so Bjorn is in the midst of like some deep soul searching reflection. But I do appreciate that, because I had seen so much, I don't want to say second guessing about Bjorn, but he had taken a few licks, you know, he had lost a couple of battles, and he's had an affair with his wife, and he's kind of been like this whimsical back and forth. I was kind of glad that at least I thought what I felt was him kind of deciding, okay, the gods are with me, and I'm going to ride this thing through no matter what. Just a little bit of self-confidence. In spite of the back and forth in his head, he seemed resolved to, like, he didn't want to retreat. And we saw King Harald, you know, his people retreat, or his group of soldiers. But Bjorn, we haven't seen them retreat. We've seen Bjorn in this cool battle. By the way, with the picnic bench in the middle of it,
yes.
Which looked like, to be honest, it was a cup of coffee or is it like some toilet paper.
I don't know, something white back there.
Something white. And we know stuff happens like this, but people say, here's the thing. It's like, okay, well, why would you leave that in? Obviously, if you could cut it out, you could. The only thing I'm thinking is like, maybe they needed that particular shot for the scene. I didn't think, I would have just cut it out or blurred it out, but apparently the editors and the director, obviously they talked about that. This huge continuity error, we're leaving it, and they probably thought nobody would catch it, even though people did, obviously.
You know, things happen.
Things happen.
And that was like a really cool, epic shot on Bjorn. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't have any more in the can. Like, at the end of the day, that was a really good moment of him. Have, like, you just can't lose that.
He was
right
kicking
there.
Ass in that fight. He was being powerful Bjorn, you're right. And so sometimes you'll even hear filmmakers talk about this. Well, this is what I was trained to. You go for the content of the shot and you hope that people are looking at the acting, you
Correct.
Know, the story.
And don't notice
yeah, and miss the little, you know, continuity errors. But yeah, that was just really funny. And in my mind, you know, the funny thing, I was like, well, maybe the Vikings, they have tables and they have benches. Like, to me, that could have been there, but like, well, whatever left on the table is like really what blew it for me. So we're interested to know what you guys think about that in the comment section. Yeah, if you guys caught that, and did it take you out, or did it seem like it was part of the battle?
The thing is that the color scheme all kind of blended in together.
Right.
So if you weren't really watching, you might not have caught it.
Right.
So
it goes by really quick. It's only for like a second.
Yeah. We had to rewind.
All right, so we're working our way through. So the Russians are making really good headway. They managed to storm the beach, and Bjorn has to, I guess, reconnect with his forces you know, who like his safety force who have fallen back. But oh, here's one thing I wanted to talk about. The one thing I miss, I want to know if anybody else caught this. When Ivar's describing how they're going to attack the shore, he says, "Yes, we're going to attack, and our boats will be capsized. But we, even though our boats will be capsized, we will run over the top of them or something to that effect, and we'll get into these other boats." Anyway, we never saw that. That was just some, it was just some elaborate plan that we never saw. Maybe they didn't get a chance to shoot, whatever. But the bottom line, the essence of it is they, you know, they take the beach. With that said, Bjorn, like I said, he's regathered his forces. They seem to be mounting a good fight, and he's going back to, I guess, reinforce the beach. And you kind of get this, I don't know, you kind of get this air of, what I'm looking for? Deflation, where he's deflated, because he sees even more of their troops, like their ships coming, not to mention more soldiers, you know, on the beach that he has to fight. So that's the first time you feel like, okay, it's kind of, before you were kind of losing it, but right now it's not looking good at all for the Vikings. So, yeah. I don't know, so which will lead us, let's just get to it. Bjorn, you see him fighting, and you see him cutting back between his vision with Ivar in this conversation, cutting back between him fighting and battle, and he's being brave. We see King Harald go down, and we see Eric even go to him, picks up his crown, which is very interesting. I'm like, okay, what is he doing? Is he saving that? Is that customary, what you do when the king goes down? And then we see Bjorn get stabbed by Ivar, and Bjorn go down.
Yeah.
Okay, so your thoughts on that, because that was a very controversial scene, and we see different sides to the way that scene was depicted. I don't know. Your thoughts.
You know, sitting here, when I saw that happen, that was one moment where I was like, did production just, like, fool me for the whole entire episode? And is this whole thing a dream sequence? Like, is this whole thing something that wants to be played out in, you know, the opposing side's mind to kind of figure out how they would like the battle to go?
Right.
And I'm still questioning that because I'm just like, really?
Right.
We cannot kill Bjorn.
Yeah.
And
it definitely, the way they edited the episode, it definitely plays with your mind. Like, is this a simulation? Almost like this is a supposition. Well, if things went this way, this would happen. But what if they went another way? But they end on Bjorn is stabbed. Yeah. Bjorn is killed supposedly by Ivar.
But then, like, I understand that Ivar went the other way around. He climbed the mountain.
Right.
And then you came back down. But they were still on the beachfront. So that's where, like...
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, they had to collapse a lot of the time. I hear what you're saying. But, yeah, so I'm glad you actually articulated that. Because, yeah, it was very important for them to show how Ivar says he's climbing around the mountain. He's come around the back. So he's able to take Bjorn from the back, apparently.
But... You know, when we watch him kind of like have like the whole display on the table, he showed like he was going to take over the city.
Right. So it's different. Okay, this is the second time. And maybe you guys help. But this is the second time what Ivar's articulated as his plan, it hasn't unfolded. That's not what they shot. So you guys, this is the second time, you know, Lauren and I have caught this. So maybe do you think they're going to show Ivar's plan come to more fruition? You know, maybe we pick up next season. But I feel like, did anybody else notice that? But it was some great filmmaking. It was a great, you know.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was awesome. You know, way that he would narrate, you know, the attack. But there were a couple of things continuity-wise, like we said, that didn't happen. But, okay, which leads us to believe, and then we're going to get on to our comments and our news and our best-given predictions. But it leads us to believe, or myself, that somehow I wonder if the writers are tricking us and this is some kind of weird cliffhanger.
I know. I'm praying that they're tricking us because there's so many just weird, like, crazy things that are happening in this episode that are just not normal to and truthful to the characters or the scenes that we normally would watch from Vikings. And I don't know if this is because this is a mid-season finale and, you know, this is also the part of the final season. So I don't know if this was like a rush thing and we just need to jump ahead and we're trying to close the gap on time.
Yeah, is it bad writing or is it intentional?
No, that's not what I said.
You can say it if you want, but...
Now, look, this is what I'm saying.
Okay, say what you don't put words in your mouth. Okay.
What I'm saying is this a moment to really, really take a moment to fool the mess out of us?
Right.
Or is this a moment where we just really had to make tight calls and decisions and choose what was really important?
Well, and that's a real discussion, because I don't want to say bad writing, but you're limited by logistics, and we know this is the last season.
Right.
So they have a lot they need to clap. So I think, you know, more will be revealed.
I'm praying to God that y'all did not just kill Bjorn. Now, King Harold, y'all can let him go.
King Harold died unceremoniously. Nobody cried. Eric even took his crown.
And this is not towards anything to do with the cast at all. But
right. Harold was a good actor. He's phenomenal. It was a great weasel.
I hated his guts. Yeah. Like, just because of the choices, man. Right. Make better choices.
Right, right, right.
So, I mean, for me personally, that character can go, because I feel like the Vikings are just... You know, they can do better than that.
They can do better. Well, that leads us to our abbreviated news segment. We basically just have a quick announcement. Lauren is going to talk about where we're at in the season and what's to come.
Yeah, so here's the deal when it comes down to news. Everyone obviously has been talking, like we have been talking all season long, that this is the last season. We are going on our mid-season hiatus. This is episode 10, and we now want to know, when do we come back, right? So there's no official release date at this time. However, by history and tradition of the show, we typically come back in November. Sometimes they come back around the 28th. Sometimes they come back around the 29th. There's no date yet, but hopefully they'll be releasing a date and we will stay tuned. Now, that's several news articles that have reported this. So that's just the overall news
right
now.
And I think we have 20 episodes total. So it's 10 now and 10 at the
end,
right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So we'll have another 10 in the fall. And y'all can catch up with us, leave us comments along the way, follow us, leave us 5 stars, all of the good stuff.
Yes, 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 yes.
But yeah, we will be back in the fall for the last 10. And then, of course, Netflix is still on track for their spinoff. So the spinoff is coming, and we'll have more details on that.
Great. Good stuff, Lauren. And you were talking about the comments. Well, let's use this opportunity to get right to the comments, and then we're going to wrap it up soon.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Ely Man. What's up with Gunhild's Golden Tears? Veronica. Oh, also, when are the others praying? I thought it was Latin. Oh, what are they praying? I just put language.
And these are last week's comments.
Right, right. These are last week's. And thank you for shouting out. Tiffany D. Tori said, I'm not... Ready, baby boy. The baby changes direction. Oh, that was when, okay, Tori was suffering her own miscarriage at the time. Okay, so with that said, all right, so we're going to get, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right to predictions. We have to wrap things up.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, Lauren, any thoughts on what's to come for the second part of the season?
I would love to see, oh my God, I don't even know. I mean, for starters, I would love to see them just say that, haha, we were just joshing with y'all, and you know, Bjorn is not dead. Like, right. I would love to see that.
Right.
That's one of my predictions, that somehow, some way, this was not something that truly happened. And then my next prediction is that somehow, some way, the Vikings have to take their power back. There's no way that we can just leave it that way. And I feel like that's going to come through some decisions that Ivar needs to make.
Okay, yeah, here's my prediction, and I think all those are on point. I feel like Ivar is destined. I think we're in agreement in this. I think while Ivar may be destined for a victory, there's got to be some middle ground where he's able to perhaps take back part of Norway, but also like save his gods.
Right.
But what we want to see is interesting. What's going to happen to Igor? Not Igor. I keep saying King Oleg.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, my God. He had that serious moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then we saw Gunhild actually go after him hardcore. That was crazy. So, yeah. I don't know, man. Hopefully, Oleg. I'm hoping that Ivar eventually takes Oleg out. And I'm seeing some type of compromise. And I'm hoping that Bjorn isn't dead. But, ladies and gentlemen, we will see when we come back, you know, in a few months from now.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the mid-season finale for Vikings. I'm proud to be working with my homegirl here, Lauren. Lauren,
yes.
Where can I find you?
Well, like always, you can find me on social media, but I will put a disclaimer out. If you do decide to leave us comments, leave us happy and loving comments. We are hosts and we do have feelings. So we want to have conversation with you. So be sweet and we will comment back. You can always catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Lauren B. Mosley. That's M-O-S-L-E-Y.
Everybody, it's your boy Al G. You can find me on IG at Al_JamaicaOwlsFilm. And thanks for rocking with us. And we will see you on the back half of the season. And leave us those comments and we'll get back to you. Oh, thank you for tuning in. We love you.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't just get out of here now, but we love you.
I know. We love you.
Thank you for rocking with us this whole season.
For 10 episodes.
Appreciate you guys logging in, and we appreciate the community, and we look forward to spending more time with you guys.
We'll see you in the next 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.